We're going to start again. We got a few lines into this. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 11 lines in the bottom of the page. Yeah, Amirav Yud Amirav. Okay, Amirav Yud Amirav. The Gemara is getting into now the concept of, out of respect to the Beis Hamikdash, in which direction can you go to the bathroom in, and how you should be facing when you go to the bathroom, and how you conduct yourself, generally speaking, in the bathroom. So he says, Amir Rav Yehuda Amir Rav, Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Le Amru, the sole din of not doing in the direction of east to west, is only speaking Me'artzeifim Ulamayil, Ulav Lifnim. From Har Tzeifim, that was an overlook area where you're able to see the Beis Hamikdash. So in other words, if you're able to see the Beis Hamikdash, so then you shouldn't be facing east and west, because that was the direction of the Holy of Holies. And also, Bereya, only if you're able to see the Beis Hamikdash. But if you're in a place where you can't see the Beis Hamikdash, this whole concept doesn't apply. It menami, so we learned, Amar Rababa, Bereya, Ravchia, Barabba, Rababa, the son of Ravchia, the son of Rababa said, Hacha Amar Rabbi Yechanan, this is what Rabbi Yechanan said, Le'yamru, this whole din applies, Elim min atzeifim v'lefnim, from this overlook area, it's closer to the Beis HaMikdash, and also Bereya, only if you could see the Beis HaMikdash, Ukshe'en Geder, and when there's no wall separating him from the Beis HaMikdash, because if there's a wall separating you from the Beis HaMikdash, again, there's a mechitza, there's a separation. And also, one last thing he adds, Bizman she'ashchina she'ira, this din only applies when the Shekhinah, meaning when the Beis HaMikdash existed, that God's presence was there. But in the time when there's no Beis HaMikdash, according to this opinion, the whole thing doesn't apply. So he's putting quite a few limitations. Number one, only in a certain distance close to Yerushalayim, only if you could see it. Only if there's no wall, only if the Beis HaMikdash is standing. Then the Gemara says, Tan Rabban, Rabbanan learned. This we all learned last week, by the way, just to get into it again. Hanifta bi Yerushalayim, if somebody goes to the bathroom bi Yehuda, in the area of Yehuda, one more page. Hanifta bi Yehuda, if somebody goes to the bathroom in the area of Yehuda, le'yifna mizmech ha'mayrev. You should not go to the bathroom east to west, because that was, so to speak, west of Yerushalayim, so you can basically, you're facing direction of Yerushalayim. El'tzofim v'dorim, you should do it north and south. Ubagalul, in the Galilee, you should only do it from east to west. Why? Because the Galilee was north of the Beis HaMikdash. So if you did north to south, then you're facing the Beis HaMikdash. So it basically depends where you, like we learned last week, when you daven, you face Yerushalayim. So if you're in America, it's east. If you're in a different country, it's north. In a different country, it's south. And basically, the Gemara is saying that you don't go to the bathroom in the place that would be directly towards the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yossi matir. Rabbi Yossi holds he could. It doesn't matter. Why? Shahaya Rabbi Yossi yomer, because Rabbi Yossi used to say, the whole din applies as if you see the Beis HaMikdash. Yehud and Galil were so far from the Beis HaMikdash, you didn't see it anyway. So according to him, the whole thing doesn't matter. And also, b'makom shen geder, where there's no wall. U'bizman she'shchina reya, and the time when the Shechina is shayda, when the Shechina is resting there. So again, Rabbi Yossi puts all these limitations on this din. The Chachamim hold no, you can't. So the Gemara is going to ask a very simple question. Chachamim hainu tanakama. There's three opinions in this braisa. One opinion says, you have to do it a certain way. Rabbi Yossi says no. The third opinion says you have to do it a certain way. So what's the difference between the first opinion and the third opinion? Mm-hmm. They're both saying you have to do it east or west or north or south. Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between the first opinion and the third opinion? So the Gemara answers, Ika b'na'at z'dodim. If it's the sides, not directly facing north or south or east or west, but if you're on the side, if the whole din applies. Meaning, the Tanakama, the first opinion holds that it is applicable, the din still applies, and the third opinion holds it doesn't apply. Okay. This is where we left off last week. Tanya Idach, we learned in another Braise. Hanifna be Yehuda, if somebody goes to the bathroom in Yehuda, La Yifna Mizrach Umayriv, you shouldn't do it east or west, Al Tzofen Vedarim. You should do it north and south. Ubagalul, in the Galilee, you should do it Tzofen Vedarim Asa, north and south is forbidden. But Mizrach Umayriv Mutter, east and west are allowed. Rabbi Yisi Mater, this we just similar to what we just learned. Rabbi Yisi permits it. Shaya Rabbi Yisi Emer, Rabbi Yisi said, Layasur al-Abirai, it only applies when it's seen, when you can see the Beis HaMikdash. And Rabbi Yudah Emer, Rabbi Yudah says, only Bizman Shem Beis HaMikdash Kayim Asur, only when the Beis HaMikdash was existing was it forbidden. Bizman Shem Beis HaMikdash Kayim, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, Mutter, it's allowed. Rabbi Kiva Eisir B'chol Makim. Rabbi Kiva says no. So again, the Gemara asks the same question. Rabbi Kiva Einu Tanakam. The first and the fourth opinion are all the same. Rabbi Kiva says no, and the first opinion says no. What's the difference between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim? So the Gemara answers interestingly, Ika Benayu Chutz Laretz. If you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael, which direction can you go? So according to Tanakama, you could do it in any direction. And Rabbi Kiva says, no, even outside of Eretz Yisrael, you can't do it in the direction of Eretz Yisrael, even if you live outside of Eretz Yisrael. It's interesting. Here in Shulchan Aruch, in Shulchan Aruch, he speaks about not doing it east to west, and whole thing over here in Shulchan
Aruch. The only thing is that they used to make outside, not to
be right. That's why Lechayr, according to one opinion in the Gemara, that there's a wall. Yeah. If you're in a bathroom, for sure there's a wall.
Yeah.
And also, if you're very far from Yerushalayim, there's no question there's a wall between you and Yerushalayim. But some people permit it, some people don't. Now the Gemara says, and I have to give an introduction to the Gemara coming up. There's going to be a few things that are going to sound very strange, what the rabbis did. Mm-hmm. But you have to understand, these are great people, and they wanted to know what Torah says. And they did strange things, seemingly, that we wouldn't be allowed to do, because to find out what Torah says, like we'll soon learn in the Gemara, this person followed his rabbi into the bathroom to see how he conducts himself. Mm-hmm. This rabbi hid under another rabbi's bed when they was having marital relations, to see what, to hear and to know how to learn. I mean, they didn't have books in those days. They didn't have a Shulchan Aruch that you can open it up and see how one conducts himself. So how did they find out? They did it. But these are tzaddikim that are no Yetzirah, you have to understand. So they're people that, like the Gemara is going to say, it's tight and I have to know what to do. So the Gemara tells a few stories coming up. Rabbah, the famous Rabbah, have a shadgin lei lebnei Mizrach umayriv. Rabbah lived in Bavel, and yet he put two bricks around to be able to go to the bathroom from east to west, that he should face north or south. You know, as he put the bricks east or west, that he should be facing north or south. So Abai wanted to know if he did it because that's just what he did, or it was particular or not, mm-hmm, in the directions. Azul Abaye, so Abaye went, Shadinu Tzofen Vedarim. Abaye switched around the bricks from north or south to see if he'll do it east to west or not, or he's going to come back and change the bricks. Al Rabba, Zerabba came, Tresinu, and he straightened them back to the first way he did it. And that was Rabbah was particular, and he didn't just put it in any direction. Mm-hmm. He did it in a particular way. Amar, so he said, so Rabbah said, Man Haideka Mitzarli, who's doing this to me, moving bricks around? You know, I did it particularly, who's moving up? He said, Anoke Rabbi Akiva Svirale. So Rabbah said, because I hold like Rabbi Akiva, because L'cheira, if they lived in Bavel, one opinion says in Chutz Laretz it doesn't matter, mm-hmm, in which direction you do it. So Rabbi said, but I am particular because I hold like Rabbi Akiva, the Amr who says, B'chol Makom Asur, in any place is forbidden. So therefore, if I hold in any place is forbidden, I was particular. But Abaye wanted to see if he was particular or not. Mm-hmm. There's a famous story with the Baal Shem Tov, by the way. A guy once came into somebody's house, and he saw the way a young man was beating this older man, who they looked alike, but the younger guy was beating the older guy, and he said, "Would you work quicker? What are you so slow for, you slowpoke?" So the guy says to him, "How do you talk to your father like that?" The guy says, "What?" The younger guy says, "I'm the father, and the older guy is my son, and I'm telling you to work quicker." He said, "What are you talking about?" He says, "I'll tell you a story." He said, "I used to clean the Baal Shem Tov's room. And one time I came into the Baal Shem Tov's room, and I noticed a pair of slippers that the Baal Shem Tov put next to his bed. So when I was cleaning the room, I was thinking, should I sweep around the slippers? Or should I actually pick up the slippers and clean? And I decided the Baal Shem Tov put the slippers there, I'm not going to touch them." So the Baal Shem Tov came back into the room. So he swept around it. So the Baal Shem Tov came back to the room and said, "Did you move my slippers?" He said, "No." So why not? "Because you put them there, I didn't want to move it." So the Baal Shem Tov said, "You should live long like you are now." So he said, "I stayed young. And this is my son. I'm telling him to work quicker." So Abba put the bricks down. He moved the bricks. Okay, again, just remember what we gave the introduction of. Okay, top of the page. Tanya Amin Rabbi Kiva said, I followed Rabbi Yeshua into the bathroom. And I learned from Rabbi Yeshua three laws. Number one, that you don't face in the direction of east or west. Okay? Now, and also, I learned the second thing, that you don't expose yourself when you get undressed in the bathroom, when you're standing, only when you're sitting, in order to be more modest in how you get undressed. Lamadati, and I learned, 9 o'clock, that we don't wipe yourself using the right hand, only the left hand. Okay, and the Gemara is soon going to explain why you use the left hand rather than the right hand. So Rabbi Kiva said a statement. I once followed Rabbi Yeshua into the bathroom and I learned three dinim from him. Amalei ben Azai. So ben Azai said, "Atkani zata penecha rabecha. How do you have such chutzpah to your Rabbi? I mean, to go follow him into the bathroom." Amalei, said Rabbi Kiva, and there's a very famous expression, "Teira hi, his behavior is teira, v'lumid adin tzarech." And I have to learn it. How else will I learn it if I don't see it? And like we said, there was no Shulchan Aruch to look up the laws, so this is the way he did it. And the interesting thing is, Ben Azai, who said this to Rabbi Kiva, he himself did the same thing later. Gemara says, Tanya Ben Azai said, "Pamachas nechnasti acher Rabbi Kiva lebeisakisi." I once followed Rabbi Kiva into the bathroom. The same Ben Azai that screamed at Rabbi Kiva for following Rabbi Yeshua, so Ben Azai himself followed Rabbi Kiva into the bathroom. Lamadati mimenu shleisha dvarim. And he said, I learned from him three things. Number one, the same three things. Number one, she nifna mizrach mairach alotzofen vedarim. You don't do it east or west, but north or south. Lamadati she nifroim mu'umid al miyushiv. You don't expose yourself while you're standing, but when you're sitting. And also, mikanchem biyamin ela bitzmel. That you don't, ein mikanchem biyamin, you don't wipe yourself using the right hand, you only use the left hand. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda said, "Al kein izata penecha berabecha. How do you have chutzpah to do this to your Rebbe?" And Ben Azai answered the same thing, "Teirehi v'lil midani tzarech." Teirehi, and it's what I have to learn. The interesting thing, Ben Azai was also Rabbi Kiva's son-in-law, according to one opinion. Mm-hmm. There's two opinions if Ben Azai ever married or not. One opinion is he never married. One opinion is he married and divorced. And the way the story that he got married was that he married Rabbi Kiva's daughter, and he couldn't handle the pressure of family and business because he wanted to sit and learn a whole day. That's all he wanted to do. So he asked his wife permission to divorce him, that he shouldn't be married. And his wife permitted him. And Rabbi Kiva's wife, who was the cause of Rabbi Kiva going away to yeshiva to learn, mm-hmm. as everybody knows, and Rabbi Kiva said to his students, everything I know and you know is because of this lady. So Rabbi Akiva's wife, whose name was Rachel, said to her daughter, you're even greater than I am. She said, I married your husband for Torah. You divorced your husband for Torah. So you had more self-sacrifice than I did. So it's interesting, but if you say it was his father-in-law, at least, and even followed not only his teacher, but his father-in-law into the bathroom. So now the Gemara says another story. Rav Kahana ol gane tuse puria de Rav. Rav Kahana, who was a student of Rav, went under Rav's bed to see how Rav will have marital relations. Shamed desach v'sachak v'aset zrachav. He heard the way Rav first spoke to his wife, and then he, so to speak, he was joking with her, laughed with her, and then he had marital relations. Amalei, so Rav Kahana screamed out from underneath the bed, Dame pume da Abba de leishara tafshila. Abba's mouth is like one that did not swallow food. It sounds like he's so hungry to do the act that like a guy that didn't eat for a long time. Amalei, so Rav said to him, Kahana hachat, Kahana, you're here? Pook it out. The lav orach ad. It's not proper that you're here. I mean, what are you doing? Get out of here. Amalei, he said, Teiri v'lumid ani tzarech. It's Teira, and I have to learn how to do it. That's it.
You can just see a film made out of this.
Yeah.
He was hiding under the bed?
Yeah. I don't suggest people to do this. Rav Kahane was, as we said, a tzaddik that had no yetzahara. Rav Kahane was a tzaddik that had no yetzahara. But he wanted to know in Teira how to do it. Okay, now the Gemara says, Mepnei ein mekanche b'yamin ala b'smel. Why is the halacha? Like the Gemara said before, you use the left hand rather than the right hand. Amar Rav said, there's a few reasons given. Because Torah is given by yamin. Torah was given with the right hand. So because Torah is the right hand, you don't wipe yourself, so to speak, with the right hand. Shenamer, because it says in the Pasuk, Mimine, from Hashem's right hand, Eish Dosta, he gave us a fiery law. So you see, Torah was given, so to speak, with the right hand of Hashem. Rav Barbachon Amar, Rabbi Barbachana said, Shikreva lepeh, it's closer to the mouth. What it means, simply Rashi explains, is that you eat with your right hand, so it's not proper to use it for that. Reb Shimon ben Lakish Amar, Reb Shlakish says, Mepnei shekeshe batfilin, because that's the hand you use to tie the tefillin. You tie, if you put tefillin on your left and your left hand, so then you use the right hand to tie the tefillin. Right. So it says, you're right. So the Mefarshim asked, Taki, even though, L'cheire, if you're talking about tefillin, left hand is better than the right hand.
That's right.
But the active part of tefillin, and we're talking about the using the hand to wipe oneself or to wrap the tefillin, so then you're talking about the active part of it, not. The left hand is more prominent because it has the tefillin. But if you're talking about activity, the right hand is what puts on the tefillin. Rav Nachum Yitzchok says a different reason, because it shows the trop of the denotes of the tefillin, how to read the Chumash and the Nevi'im and so on and so forth. So because they're written with the right hand, so you don't use the right hand. So the Gemara says, Ketanoi, this is really an argument of Tanoim. Because we see in the Brice it says, Rabbi Lazar Emer Mnei Sha'echubo, because that's the hand you eat with. Rabbi Shua Emer Mnei Sha'echubo, because that's what you write Torah with. Rabbi Kiva Emer Mnei Sha'echubo, time you Torah, because you show the notes of the Torah with it. So this is the various opinions in that.
Does that mean, Rabbi, that the left hand would be the opposite, and use the right hand? Because they eat with their left, or do everything with their left.
So he says in Shulchan Aruch, just to read the halacha, an eater yad, a left-handed person, does the opposite. Does basically the opposite.
That only goes according to this one opinion.
Yeah, but that's the seemingly the halacha. Okay. Now the Gemara says, Amid Abtanchum Bar Chaniloi. Abtanchum Bar Chaniloi said the following. Kolatzenua bebeisakise, whoever is modest in the bathroom, is needs some Mishleisha Dvarim.
Is
huh? It wasn't a big earthquake.
No, no. Just a little bit.
Amen. Loi, kolatzenua bebeis akise, whoever is modest in a bathroom, needs a mishleish advarim, is safe from three things. Number one, from the snakes that hide there, from the akravim, from the scorpions, and the third one is minamazikin, from the demons. The reason for this is very simple. Modesty over here means also if you do it with a lot of noise or quietly, you know. When you do it quietly, the snakes and scorpions don't realize you're there. They don't realize you're there, so they don't bother you. You come in with a big commotion, you know, loud, so then they know you're there. But Yashem and other people say that Af Chalameis of Miyushav Malik, even his dreams, will be calming to him. So it says why? Because the bad dreams come about because of the demons. If the demons don't get in your way, so then you're going to have calm dreams, so it doesn't matter. This is basically Mar saying you have to have more modesty in the bathroom. The Rashi says the mazikin don't come. The nechoshim are not going to feel that you're there to hurt you, and so on and so forth. Then the Gemara says, there's a certain bathroom in Tveria. When two people would enter it together, even during the day, they got harmed by the demons. Even though normally two people have more protection from the demons than one, but that particular one, they would hurt the person. Okay. Rabami v'Ravasi, Hava Ailu Bechad v'Chad l'chudei. Ravami and Ravasi went into this bathroom in Tveria, one at a time, and they weren't hurt. Then normally even two people went in together, they got hurt. Ravami and Ravasi went in, and nothing happened. Amalu Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon said to them, were you not afraid that you're going to get hurt, that you went in individually into the bathroom? So he says, Amaleluhu, they answered back, Anan Kabbalah Kamigimrino. We learned the tradition from our teachers. Kabbalah de Besakise. Tradition. You know, if you want to do the bathroom right, Tsiniyusa Ushtikusa. With modesty and silence. So they said, Pasha went in quietly, with modesty, and therefore nothing happened to us. Kabbalah de Yisure. Tradition concerning punishment. If somebody is suffering, how do you take care of that? He says, "Shtikusa, silence, umbeibay rachami," and asking and davening. In other words, it says over here, Rashi says that if somebody has punishment and you accept it, so that's how you get out of it. Because you start complaining, guess what you're complaining about? What I do, I'll give you more. Mm-hmm. It's like when kids start complaining, you do it more. God says, so the Gemara says a very simple tradition they had. You want to be safe in the bathroom, you do it quietly in modesty. You want to get out of punishment, you accept it and you daven. Accept it for what it is. Then the Gemara says, Abaye meravle ime, Abaye's mother. And as Gemara says, Abaye was raised by his stepmother. Mm-hmm. Abaye was an orphan at a very, very young age. In fact, the reason why he's called Abaye, how do you get the name Abaye? Abaye is an acronym for Asher Becha Yerucham Yosim, which in you should be pitied an orphan. Abaye was an orphan. He was raised by his stepmother. So when Abaye ever spoke about his mother, he meant, unfortunately, say his stepmother. So Abaye, Marba Lehime, his mother raised for him, Imra, a goat, a sheep. Lemeil bahadil lebeisa kisei. That when he goes into the bathroom, he should take the sheep with him, that he shouldn't be alone to get hurt by the demons.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? So the Gemara asked, Ravile Gadya, why did she raise him a goat? Why sheep? Why not a goat?
Mm-hmm.
A goat seemingly would have been better. So the Gemara says, Seir b'soy mechalef. A goat could be interchanged for a goat like demon. And therefore the demons would come because they would think it's another demon there.
Mm-hmm.
But a sheep, they couldn't make a mistake, so they saw two people there, so to speak, so they didn't, they wouldn't come and bother him. B'chlal, in the olden times, you have to understand, Hashem made devils and demons. They existed. In the time of the Gemara, they existed. Finally, in the later time of the Gemara, they banned them from civilization. But L'mashal, the demons used to hang out in dilapidated huts where nobody lived, in bathrooms. Don't forget they had outhouses. So they're basically away, you know, in secluded areas. So because they were banned from civilization, from where people were, they used to hang out in the bathrooms and dilapidated huts. And therefore the Gemara in many places says a Jew should not go into a dilapidated hut himself. The Gemara would say but two reasons. Number one, because of the shadim of the devils and demons. Another reason is because the prostitutes used to hang out there. So if somebody would go there, there people would accuse them of being with the prostitute. But the main thing was partial dangerous, danger of the shadim. So at the end of the era of the Gemara, I believe it was, they banned shadim, the Gemara. The Chachamim of the Gemara banned them from where people, but they used to hurt people. Mamish, the Gemara says, the Gemara gives a whole story. If you want to see a demon, what do you do? You know, how do you get one to come to you? Take a seventh generation black cat, it's through the whole process with it, and then if you burn it, whatever, you get to see it. And Rav Ashi did it, and the demon came and he turned his nose inside out. I mean, they were very dangerous. So the Chacham banned them from civilization. In the time of Rav Adam Bal Shem Tov, who was before Rabbi Yisrael Bal Shem,
mm-hmm.
a generation or two before Rabbi Yisrael Bal Shem, there was another one called Rabbi Adam Bal Shem. He was a great Mekubal, and he and his Bezdin over there, and his Kabbalist buddies, they banned Shadim from the face of the earth completely. So now there's no Shadim left in the world. They banned them. They had powers, and they undid them, you know, whatever. But in time of the Gemara, Shadim were around. So the Gemara says, if you want to save yourself from the Shadim, you have to do certain things. If not, the Shadim would come and hurt you. The push would hurt the people. Because they didn't have either. They didn't see the need of it because Hashem made them. I mean, Hashem.
There are still people who claim to see them.
Okay.
Baba Mises. There are people that claim God talks to them too. You know, people. There's no shadim today.
I hear like they had their feet was like the horse feet, right?
Like a duck. A duck. There's a story in the Gemara. When Shlomo Melech had to build the Beis Hamikdash, it's the Gemara in Gittin, I think it is. When Shlomo Melech had to build the Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to use metal to cut the stones,
mm-hmm.
especially of the Mizbeach. So Shlomo Melech knew what did Moshe Rabbeinu use? It was the Shamir. The Shamir was the worm that cut stone. So they would make a mark and it would cut the stone exactly where it had to be cut. So Shlomo HaMelech needed to find how to get the Shamir. So he said the only one that knew where it was Ashmedai.
Mm-hmm.
Ashmedai was the head of the demons.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you get Ashmedai? Not so simple to get Ashmedai. So Shlomo HaMelech, in his brilliant wisdom and his political pull, found out that there's a certain a river that Ashmedai flies into every day and takes a drink. So Shlomo HaMelech had the river drained and filled it up with wine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ashmedai came and drank and then he fell asleep. This is what the story goes. I don't know, whatever. after Ashman they fell asleep, Shlomo HaMelech had his chief of the army go and wrap a chain around Ashmedai's foot with the name of God as the lock. So when Ashmedai woke up, he wouldn't be able to break the lock because of Hashem's name in it, and he wouldn't be able to do it. And that's the way Shlomo HaMelech captured Ashmedai. He captured Ashmedai, and then he wanted to find out where the Shamir. So the long story, Ashmedai told him how to get the Shamir and how to bring him. That, you know, the question was, how do you bring? Because if he can cut through everything, how are you going to get him? He told him to take cotton. The whole story, how he got. But eventually, what happened was, Ashmedai took Shlomo HaMelech and he threw him outside of Yerushalayim. Outside of Yerushalayim. And he assumed the throne. Ashmedai assumed the throne of Shlomo HaMelech. Now, a Shaid can assume any physical feature he wants. Except one thing, and we'll soon see. So Shlomo HaMelech comes back, and he tells the people, "I'm Shlomo HaMelech. You crazy? That guy's Shlomo HaMelech. You're not Shlomo HaMelech. I mean, what are you talking about? You're an imposter." So Shlomo HaMelech said that you have to go look at his feet, because a shade can change into any human feature, except his feet are webbed like a duck's feet. That's the only, and therefore, the Ashmedai never took off his shoes, so to speak. So Shlomo HaMelech told him how to figure out how to get off his feet, his shoes, and they were able to see, and then Ashmedai ran away. So there were, in the time of the Gemara, the Shadim were used for good or for bad, basically. But most of the time, the Eibishter created them on one of the days of creation, Rashi says, and they were basically bad. So in the bathrooms and the churvas, they used to hurt the people. So the Gemara said there were certain nates. Either you went in with somebody else, or like Abaye's mother, or stepmother, raised him a goat, a sheep, that when he went into the bathroom, nothing would happen. That's what.
Goats are more like active as an animal. Sheep are much more passive. So maybe that's
whatever. The goat would be, like he says over here, the Shadim were more like goats and the demons. The goat would not be sufficient to do it, so she gave him a sheep. She trained the sheep, basically. Then the Gemara says, "Ravim mekamed avereishim mekarkele basrav chistam zguza belakna." Rava, who was the head of the yeshiva, and his wife was the daughter of Rav Chista. Rava married Rav Chista's daughter. Now, when he went into the bathroom, okay, his wife would rattle a walnut in a copper receptacle that the demon should think that there's a few people there, and therefore they shouldn't bother him. Basad the Malach, but after he was pointed the head of the yeshiva, and therefore because he was such a prominent person, the Shadim wanted to get him even more, so the danger became worse. What did she do? Avdalei Kavta, she fashioned a window between the bathroom and her house. She would place her hand on his head, that it should be considered like two people are there. And therefore, there was a bigger protection for Rava. In other words, there's a whole concept of the people that are Torah scholars are more danger than regular people. Therefore, there's a din in Shulchan Aruch that a Talmud Chacham is not allowed to go out alone at night. Why? Because it's dangerous. The question, why happens to Talmud Chacham, any person? What's the difference? The answer is, the problem is the demons, the Shadim. So a Talmud Chacham is in more danger because he's greater, so the Shadim want to get him more. So there's more danger, so he shouldn't go out alone at night. For other people, it's not such a dangerous thing. So initially, the noise that she made, that was enough. Okay? Because she didn't want, it was not modesty to go with her husband into the bathroom. But afterwards, she made it in a way that she would put his hand on her hand on his head, and that would protect him. Then the Gemara says, Amr Ula said, Achri Ageder, if a person goes behind the fence, he can go Nifna Miyat. He can go to the bathroom right there, because the fence is tznius, so basically this is din of modesty already. The fence blocks you. Ubi'iya Kozman Shemitashim in Chaveri. And in an open area, how far do you have to be away from people that they can't hear you if you pass gas? Isi banosin mas nohochi. Isi banosin learned the following. Achuri agada behind the wall. Kol zman shemisatish, as long as you can pass gas. Vein chaveri. Shemen, your friend doesn't hear you. That's where you're allowed to do it. Not immediately, right after the fence. Even after the fence, you have to go a little bit away. Ubabika in the valley. Kol zman shen chaveri reyehu. You could only do it if your friend doesn't see you. So he's stricter. The first opinion says right behind the wall you could do it. In the valley, if they don't hear you. The second opinion says, no, behind the fence, they can't hear you. But in an open place, if they can't see you. But again, these dinim are all dinim in tznias. These are not dinim in the shadim problem. These are pushing the dinim of tznias. Because it says, when a person goes to the bathroom, you need all the concept of tznias. A person shouldn't think, just because they're in the bathroom, they could do whatever they want. Even in the bathroom, there has to be a form of modesty. Okay, we'll stop here because now the Gemara goes into a whole long thing. Yeah.